Who is your favorite friend? I think we all have one, at least I hope we do. The Bible says that if you get one good friend in life, you got a treasure. But a favorite friend is really, really special. Now, I would like to go back into my life, and I like old-timey television programs. There's some programs that are still on the air. They rerun them, and they rerun them. One of my favorite programs was Green Acres. But there was another one that I enjoyed watching, and that was the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. You remember them guys? Well, they had a theme song, and the theme song was, "I Got You, Babe." Well, the lyrics said that no matter what they faced, they would be okay because they had each other. But then the couple had a terrible falling out, and the show imploded, and they endured a very, very public divorce. But it turns out they didn't have one another after all, did they? "I got you, babe." Well, they didn't have her. Well, the history of relationships is full of accounts of teams breaking up, bands falling apart, famous marriages, dramas hitting in the tabloids, royal families fragmenting, business partnerships dissolving in rancor, bitterness, and even betrayal. So how easily is it that we sometimes forget that friendship emerged from agreement? Yeah, it's hard to be good friends with someone who is diametrically opposed to your worldview and yours to theirs. So acquaintances, they are, but true friendships, that needs a basis of core agreement. The prophet Amos in our Old Testament reading says in chapter 3, verse 3, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to so?" Well, I don't think it means that we agree on everything or never disagree about anything. I've been married a long time now, 30 years to my beautiful wife, Judy. But Judy and I do agree on most core issues in life, and those are based on the truth of Scripture. And through the years of our marriage, our trust and our friendship and our love has grown richer and deeper. And our joint values have allowed us one more thing, to serve one another more and more as our love grows in grace. Well, I think this is important because the Bible cautions us about friendships. And our New Testament reading this week, and comes from James, who wrote with certain bluntness these words of warning. "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means you're in enmity with God?" Well, I think, therefore, those who choose to be friends of the world become an enemy of God. James 4:4, Ralphie interpretation. But I think James is telling us about the present world system. He's not telling us to disregard the natural wonders that God had placed on earth, or even to stop loving the people of the world because we're commanded to love one another. No, I think he's talking about the world system, its values, its priorities, its philosophy, and more importantly, the spirit. Well, the Bible says in Little John, chapter 5, verse 19, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under control of the evil one." You know, Jesus warned us that prior to his return, his children, you and me, will be hated by almost everyone. And we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to serve the Lord even if it puts me in very uncomfortable situations? Well, I think as your friendship with Jesus grows, it has to become that defining friendship of your life. It doesn't mean you don't have responsibility towards people, but there's a preeminence that comes with being his friend. In fact, as I indicated in the previous message, you'll find that you start serving other people in a fresh way because of your friendship with Jesus. I think that primary message that the Apostle Paul wanted to convey to the leaders of the church at Ephesus, when he met them in the town of Metellus, Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus establishing this church, and now he wanted to meet its leaders as he journeyed towards Jerusalem. Imagine being in a church retreat with the leaders, and it was hosted by the Apostle Paul. I think when everybody arrived, they stowed their bags and assembled, and Paul began speaking to them. He said, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of several testings by the plots of my Jewish opponents, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would not be helpful to you. But I have taught you publicly from house to house." You can find that in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. And he went on to tell them that it was about to take a dangerous journey. He was saying, you know, that one might involve prison and hardship, the journey that I'm going on. But then he spoke the words that broke their hearts in verse 25. He said, "I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Wow, in that light, there were some things that he expected them to do as they carried on without him. And in verses 28 and 31, he said, "Keep watch over yourself and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, by shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number of men and women that arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard." He's telling us, be on guard. "Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you that day and night with tears." Well, I think Paul was really speaking prophetically, because he knew the church would be confronted by governmental opposition. And he also knew that there would be counterfeit Christians, wolves in sheep clothing, and who would attack the truth of the gospel. The church on earth faces threats from within and from without. I don't think much has changed in the 2,000 years that Paul was here, and we need to think about it. But then Paul, with a pastor's heart and a father's love, said in verse 32, "Now I commit to you, God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." I think that's what we need to see. There may be separations and sacrifices and sheep that are really wolves, but we're friends with the Most High God. He has placed an inheritance in front of us, and we have something beyond time and temporal. If we allow the fleeting things of this earth to set agendas in our lives, we'll miss so much of what God longs for. In my humble opinion, God wants you and I to enjoy the world that you're in. Remember, Jesus said we are in the world, not of it. But remember your purpose for being in it to begin with, to be his friend, Jesus, his advocate, and his servant here on this planet. So when we draw close to him, him being Jesus, through our prayers, and read his word and serve him and make him a priority in our life, Jesus draws close to us and protects us, and we have nothing to fear, because even death itself will be in his full presence, in his full hands. You know, he broke the bondage over sin and death with the resurrection and the promise coming again. We got a lot of wonderful things to look forward with our friend. But when the Apostle Paul finished his message, he knelt down with all of them and prayed, and the tears flowed like buckets. In verses 37 through 38, they all wept as they embraced and kissed him. And then they accompanied him to the ship and said goodbye. Well, being a Christ follower means that though friendships with Christ and with the support of God's children in the family of God, we can journey through life serving the Lord with great humility, sometimes with tears, and even in the midst of severe testing and plots by our enemies. I think we all of us need to be like what the Apostle Paul said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. Oh, my goodness gracious, you and I, we can do that for him because we know he is a friend that'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, the blessed hope that we have is so special, and there is no hill or mountain that we can't climb because that we got him in our lives, and he's got us. Oh, yeah, now he's not here in the physical sense. We know that. But he said that he was going to send one greater than him, which is the Holy Spirit. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, okay, preacher. Well, if he said he'd never leave us and forsake us, why not be here in the physical sense anymore? No, he sent the Holy Spirit who walks alongside of us, who is the advocate with the Father, helping us all along the way. Now, that's a true friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. And I hope and pray that you know Jesus in a personal and loving way. But if you have never made that decision, or maybe you made it and you didn't follow through and you started to go back out into the world, you know this thing called repentance, and that's what you got to do. You know, that's why they called King David a man after God's own heart, because he repented and asked for forgiveness. You know, David's life was really, he was a great king and a great person, but boy, he sure messed up. But he said, God, forgive me. And Jesus did. And he is now saying the same thing with you. When you mess up, it's okay. Just repent. And let's start over. And I will walk with you all along this path. And yeah, we're going to stumble once in a while. But when we do, repent. You know, that's what it says in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. So you got yourself and Jesus. That's two. And for one was there to pick you up when you fall. Well, that's a good friend, isn't it? Well, I hope and pray that you do have Christ in your life and you're having that relationship with him and you continue to grow in grace. And that's what it's all about. I know I'm not the same person that I was 35 years ago, and I'm grateful for that. Because it is with Jesus, one second at a time, that we've been walking this walk. I have made a mess of my life to even being a follower of Christ, and I had to repent, I don't know, many times. Some days I think I repent maybe 100 times a day throughout the day. But I become aware of my failures and my challenges, and I know where to take it when I need help. Through the gift and the grace of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name, have a wonderful day. Hope to see you in church sometime soon. And just know this, that God loves you and so do I.